The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. The Pharisee looked up at the front of the church and spoke a prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast and he prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, the latter went home justified, but not the former. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. We're still journeying with Luke, and we're with Luke for another few weeks until we come to Advent, the beginning of a new liturgical year. And by the time we're finished Luke, we will know a lot about this Gentile Luke who writes more than anyone else in the New Testament. We'll know about the Samaritan, and we'll know about 15, Good Samaritan, we'll know about Dismas on the cross, we'll know all these wonderful things about the manner in which Luke tells us who Jesus is. And today's gospel reading about the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple is also unique to Luke only. So let me look at this and wonder what it means to us. The Pharisee is a righteous man, is a good man, very religious man, the equivalent of somebody who comes to church every Sunday, maybe every day, a daily communicant maybe, an honorable, decent, honest man, the Pharisee. He keeps the law because he believes that's the way in which he should serve his God. The tax collector is reviled, he's an outsider, he's banished. Nobody can find anything good to say about a tax collector. He was dismissed from the community because he collected taxes for a foreign government, for the Romans. And tax collectors generally had a reputation of being cheaters. I mean, they'd take more tax than they really needed, and they'd keep the extra for themselves. So tax collectors had a very bad reputation. And when Jesus tells this story, he is revealing who God is. Two different images of God. The Pharisee has a merit, what we call merit theology. I'm going to merit the blessings of today, and I'm going to merit eternal life. I keep the laws, I do the right thing, I'm going to gain heaven, I'm going to save my soul. How often do we hear that? I'm doing this because I have to save my soul. God doesn't save my soul, I save my soul. And therefore, I build up enough capital so that when I come to the pearly gates, I have enough to get me over the top. This poor old tax collector, on the other hand, he has no credit at all. He's just a broken human sinner. And in these two images, God is revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prefers the broken human being who reaches out for acceptance and for mercy and for forgiveness. Doesn't mean the other man is lost. He prefers the person who seeks the mercy and the love of God. The image of the Pharisee is far more familiar to us because in many ways it images human love. I must gain your love, I must gain your confidence, I must impress you, I have to earn it, I have to merit this, I have to deserve. That's a merit theology. Poor old tax collector has nothing to recommend him. If he needed a letter of recommendation, you'd probably find it difficult to write. So we have two contrasting images here that are meant to reveal who God is. Do we have a God of merit theology? Many of us do. Or do we have a God of infinite love? I am the prodigal son. I am the leper in need of healing. I am Dismas on the cross asking for salvation. Or else I'm the Pharisee, the righteous one who can make judgments about other people, who can exclude people from the church. I am the judgmental pastor who tells people you qualify and you do not qualify. Or I'm the broken human being relying on the mercy and the love of God. Two different images. One is very accessible because it relates to our human condition. We have to merit, we have to impress, we have to earn. The other one is a free gift, a transforming gift. Every one of us needs to be chosen. When the little child goes to school for the first day, the first question you ask when they come home, did you make a friend? If the child said, I made a friend, I have a friend, somebody choose me to be a friend. We all need to be chosen in life. To be chosen is to say, I'm unique, I'm special, I'm uplifted to be chosen. We all need to be loved. I mean, not just loved across the board, but loved in a very personal way. It affirms our humanity. It's an experience that assures us we can be human and still be loved and admired. Peter van Riemen, in his marvelous book, As Bread is Broken, treats very nicely this notion of an infinite love revealed in Jesus Christ. He says the greatest challenge we have is to accept acceptance, to accept the fact that God loves us even in our imperfection, and the love which we experience in that relationship is transformative. I mean, when you first fell in love, everything changed. You changed, you looked your best, you saw great things, you were transformed. To experience the infinite love of God is transformative. You're not dealing with the laws anymore, you're dealing with a relationship that so blesses you, so uplifts you, so affirms you, so encourages you, that you change your life. And you can only experience this infinite love of God in prayer. not in the commerce of every day, in the silence, the intimacy of prayer, is where you begin to experience the infinite love of God. I've often thought about that, and 3 years ago, before the Father Niall died, remember Father Niall here? He died 2 years ago. Anticipating his death, I went up to Cabot's to make arrangements for his funeral. And after I had finished with John Cabot, my good friend, he said, "Well, how about yourself?" And I said, "Me?" "How about your own funeral?" And I said, "Oh, never thought about it." So I thought, look, he said, "What kind of music you want?" "I don't care, I'm not going to be there." "What readings you want?" "Any readings, whatever." But then I thought to myself, if I don't write this down, this person will say, "This is what he wanted." Somebody else said, "No, this is what..." There will be confusion. So I decided that I'd make some decisions. And I chose this gospel to be the gospel for my funeral mass, because I would much prefer to go into the presence of God saying, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am a sinner," rather than going and say, "Well, I was a pastor for so many years, and then I raised money, and then we did this." Foolish, trivial stuff in the presence of God. I thought about that. You know, who is my God? And at 85, somebody asked me recently, "Do I ever think of dying?" And I said, "I do. I think about dying. I'm 85. In a three-week period, I've had 6 funerals, and only 2 of them were older than me. And I'm looking at Father Niall died, Father Dennis died. I have many, many friends. Do I think about dying? Of course I think about dying. I've only got so much time left. My years are measured. It could be 10, it could be 5, it could be 1. But it's inevitable, and it's not that distant. So when I think about that, and I think about my experience of God's infinite love, I have no fear of dying. I'm embraced already in God's infinite love. It's so overwhelming, it's so incredible, it's so unreal, it's so beyond this world. Why would I fear death? I'm embraced in the infinite love of God. And then the demons get to me. And the demons say, "I know, but how about those sins of your past? How about all the things you did wrong? How about all your imperfections and your human failings?" I say, "Oh God, maybe I should go back to the God of the Pharisee and begin to wonder if I have enough in the bank." Then I read the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where there's a storm at sea, which is meant to image the storms of our lives. And the disciples are fearful, and they say, "Jesus, save us." And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Don't you know that you're infinitely loved? Don't you know that you're the leper who is healed? Not because you deserved it, but because you needed it. Don't you know that you're the prodigal son who lived a crazy life, and you come back? You're looking for hospitality, welcome. You're looking for a place of love, and you're welcomed. The Father embraces you and welcomes you. Don't you know that you are the criminal on the cross, undeserving of anything? And you say to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus says, 'Don't worry. This day, you will be with me in paradise.'" Now that's the meaning of this gospel. So the challenge and the invitation of this gospel is try to touch the fringes of the true God, the infinite love, the God who understands you, the God who welcomes you, the God you don't deserve, something you haven't earned. It's free, it's infinite, it's all-embracing. Whoever you are at home, and you think there isn't a place for you in the church of Jesus Christ, infinite love, think again. There's a place for everybody in the house of the Lord. There are no stepchildren in God's house. I keep saying that. I want people to believe that. So allow this Word of God to become enfleshed in you, to become alive in you, to lift up your spirit and fill you with hope, to eradicate fear from your life. Don't fear God. Reverence God. Accept the transforming, infinite love of God, because in some way, each of us is the tax collector. Father Niall used to tell this story. He liked it. About this fellow who goes up to the gates of heaven, and Peter says, "Sit down, I have to talk to you. You need 100 points to get into heaven. Tell me what's good about your life." And he said, "Well, I was a registered member of Holy Family." "Well, you get 2 points for that." "Okay, fine." "Say, I went to the 9:30 Mass every Sunday." "You get 3 points for that." "So you have 5. You have to get to 100. "Well, I supported Mission Haiti and I gave money to the church and I gave money to charity." "Well, you get 2 more points for that." So he said, "Lord, have mercy." "Oh, for that you get 100 points. Think about that. Take that story with you. That comes from Niall. Amen. Amen.